Hi guys, it's Kara, host of Everyone's Business But Mine. And let's be real, one thing that makes the show possible is by selling sponsorships to advertisers. One way you can support us in getting more sponsors is by telling us a little bit more about yourself. You can do that by filling out a quick survey at the link in the show description. Plus, your answers are anonymous. They'll help us learn what you love most about the show and how to make it even better. The questions will ask you about the things that help advertisers understand the audience. It'll only take a few minutes, and it's an easy way to help the show. So you can find the link in the show description. Thank you so much, and stay tuned for the rest of the show.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Good morning, guys. I'll get to the point. Right away, I'm retiring for good. I know the process was a pretty big deal last time, so when I woke up this morning, I figured I'd just press record and let you guys know first, so I won't be long-winded. Like, you only get one super emotional retirement essay, and I used mine up last year, so...
Hey guys, welcome back to our extra large, extra special pop culture roundup for this week. Join with me as the host of We Die First and Everybody Wants Something podcasts. Check them out. Sainique Smythe. Hi, girl.
Hello.
Every time I have to introduce somebody, my mind just goes blank. So
no, it's fine. That's happened on my podcasts where I just fully forget last names, forget where I know this person from.
Completely. I will be staring at a name and be like, I read it and I'm going to say it wrong. I'm going to say it wrong every time. So let's talk about what's going on. I mean, I feel like this, we're already into the second month, barely into the second month, and it's just been crazy already. It's just been like chaos and negativity in the pop culture world.
Yeah, it's been wild. I prayed for this because I feel like, you know, I like a good crazy pop culture moment, but I feel like the prayers have been answered a little bit too aggressively. Yeah. I don't want all of this.
There's a lot we have to talk about. We're going to start off with something, the thing that I care about the least, which is football and specifically Tom Brady. But okay, I have been like kind of having my eye on this whole situation because the breakup between Tom and Giselle was like really in the headlines all last year for reasons that I found confusing, because even though like I understand I'm not a football girl, I understand like he's a huge celebrity and they're like a power couple. I just don't think that like people were checking for their relationship like that.
Right. I feel like, I know when they got together, that was a big deal. Like you said, because it was like a power couple moment, you know, I feel like at the time Giselle was also still modeling. So it was like, oh, this is like, you know, top supermodel marrying this like, you know, athlete, like, okay, that's kind of interesting. But it is very strange that all of a sudden like this divorce, and maybe because it's also happening in conjunction with like the retirements. It's just like really strange. And now I'm also kind of, I did not care about these people, and now I am a little bit like interested.
Yeah. And, you know, there was also like the scandal because he was with Bridget Moynihan and she was like heavily pregnant when they got together, when he got with Giselle. Mm-hmm. So that was like a whole drama thing. But yeah, Tom Brady announced again that he was retiring. But something about the video was what really got me. It was just like him, I'm assuming on like Miami Beach, but like it seemed like pretty early in the morning and he's by himself. And like, you know, to be one of the greatest athletes of all time, I'm assuming, it was just so like sad.
It was weird.
Even he had to admit, like, I already did this, so I can't really like make a big deal out of it. So this is what you get, guys. It just felt like a drunken decision, you know?
Okay. So first off, Tom Brady has no soul. He has soulless eyes. Yeah. So that was the first thing that was unsettling. He also did, even though he's not a millennial, he did the millennial pause at the beginning of the video. Mm-hmm. So he already started off just like uncomfortable. He's looking to the camera. I see nothing behind his eyes.
Nothing.
And then I started looking at his background. He's on a beach. It looks like a hurricane is coming.
Yeah.
It's like really overcast. It's so windy. Have you ever seen Deep Impact?
No.
Oh my God. It's like an end of the world movie, like an asteroid is coming for everyone's gig. But there's a scene where these two characters embrace on a beach as the asteroid is coming and the gigantic wave is coming to like take them out. Mm-hmm. And it reminded me of the beach. And I'm like, it's a tsunami on its way. Like what is going on? Yeah. And then he like starts to cry at the end.
It was so sad. Like, okay, so like I guess the tea is that, you know, their relationship, like you said, was kind of like his football career and their relationship was kind of like in conjunction with each other. Like Giselle mm-hmm. really wanted him to retire. He right. was still like really in it for the love of the game. And so like he retired for what, like 5 minutes or whatever. And then it was really like the straw that broke the camel's back with their relationship. So now it's like being heavily reported that he like is going to be super dad now. Like he's really focused on the kids, even though he's been saying like, I've been a shitty absent father. And that's why Giselle's mad at me. So this like whole rebranding of him into like a good dad is very weird. But like you said, like he looks gaunt.
So people were like, oh, he got like the buccal fat. And I'm like, no, he's depressed. This is a depressed man. Like, yeah, if you're sad enough, you're going to look like you got buccal fat removal. Right.
If you work hard enough. Yeah, he is in desperate need of, like, for living in Miami, like, he looks like he really is depleted of vitamin D. Mm-hmm. I really need somebody to pump a multivitamin in him. Because it's like, now he's like, who's the kid from the vampire movies? Robert Pattinson. Like that. Yes. Like that, like Evan Peters.
That explains why he sat outside when it was overcast so he wouldn't sparkle.
Right.
Just like, I think he actually is like a literal vampire.
It's giving iron deficiency. Yeah, something's going on there. So like, good luck to you, girl. And also, Giselle is going to be coming out with an article, I guess, detailing this relationship and all the bullshit that she's had to deal with. So I kind of felt like he was maybe trying to get ahead of the story.
Yes. Also, I read a Fox News article. Don't judge me. But the headline said Giselle Bundchen sends heartfelt message to Tom Brady following retirement announcement. It was a comment on the Instagram that said, wishing you only wonderful things in this new chapter of your life, which is the most like detached and strange thing that your ex-wife would or soon to be ex-wife would like leave. But it's like being framed as like, oh, it's heartfelt. I'm like, I would leave that on his comments as someone who like does not know him personally. It was very strange.
You know, it's like that thing that we've been talking about on the internet recently, because that lady went viral on like how to, you know, break up with a friend.
Yes.
Was like, oh, you know, at this moment, I just can't hold space for you right now, but like, I wish you the best in your future and all of your endeavors. Like, it's so weird and cold.
It's very HR, but it's like,
yeah.
Which makes me think that, like, you know what? Maybe it is poetic. Like, a storm is coming. That's why the beach looked like that. Like, Giselle might, like, drop some crazy bombs.
You know, I mean, quiet as kept, she's like apparently a witch and into some serious brujeria, which is, might explain why he looks like that now.
Ooh, I love that. Like, right? Like a witchy Giselle. That's like really hot.
Right? It only made me like her more. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah, I'm on her side.
Okay, so let's move on. We're going to get into like the Bravo universe. Starting off with, you know, chaotic news, chaotic, good, evil, neutral. I don't know. Somewhere on the spectrum, it is being reported that Mary Cosby is back at the very least as a friend of the next season of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Are you familiar with Mary Cosby?
I am not. Admittedly, this is one of the franchises I've never seen. And now I really want to start watching it.
You know, it's it is. I will say that this third season that is wrapping up now has like been a real flop and a disappointment. I think it's generally agreed, but like you have to get your eyes on Mary Cosby. I will say that. She's a story. She might be like a whole trilogy. She's got a lot going on and she's weird. Ooh. She is a capital W weird woman.
So I heard that she might have a cult.
Yeah, there's a lot of things. Okay, let me just give you a quick, how do you wrap up a woman like Mary Cosby? She is from a church dynasty. She is a wealthy woman who is trapped in a closet, several closets, and that's literal and metaphoric. She is mean. She is unpredictable. She is extremely funny at times. She's really good for a confessional. She had to marry her step-grandfather.
Uh-huh. I definitely heard that there was someone on this cast that is the black lady.
Uh-huh.
Oh, work. Yo, I remember when Salt Lake came out, and I was hearing this, like, oh, that's really weird. Mm-hmm. But I always just envisioned, like, I have to unpack my own biases. I envisioned, like, a blonde-haired, white, like, Mormon woman.
I mean, she would love to be. That's another thing about Mary, is that she's got some deep-seated colorism and just, like, racial situations with her.
It explains the wigs, because I did look up pictures. I was like, those wigs are shifty. Like, oh my God. So she's married. She's like keeping it in the family.
Definitely keeping it in the family. They're miserable. They have nothing in common. They do have a son together, which is a whole other situation. Watching this woman, it's like kind of Grey Gardens, kind of. Like The Shining? I don't know. There's just a lot happening.
Great Gardens meets The Shining.
it's an experience. Mary Cosby is a very much an experience. So yeah, if you want to watch it, she to me is like the big get. So a lot of people don't like her because she has done a couple racisms. You know, but several of the people on that cast have. So I think, yes. You know.
I did catch that story because I was doing my research and I was like, oh no, this Jenny person and her social needs were
not great.
Violently racist.
violently. And she's no longer with us. But so I personally, like, I will admit I fully understand she's not a good person. But I want her on my television, and that's just my truth. And you guys, like, I'm not perfect, okay? I'm not perfect.
I mean, that's okay. I think that when you watch reality TV, you have to really just like eschew any sort of like values or morals. You watch. Yeah. Like, okay, the way that I pray for Katie Ross to come back, and I know she needs a lot of help, but she should not be on TV. But I am like, gee, I hope she gets better so she can just be on like Potomac again.
She's absolutely on my list. It's Kim Richards, it's Katie Ross, it's Mary Cosby.
Exactly. I'm like, yeah, I want you to come back to this show, not for you, but for me personally.
Yeah. You get it. We see each other.
We do. We do. It's like, I never said I was a role model.
Exactly. Thank you.
That's where I live.
So let's move on to Potomac. Oh gosh. I mean, there's been so much news that's happened this week. Do you want to share your thoughts on the Robin and Juan Dixon of it all?
Sarah, where do I start? So I actually be.
Were you a Robin fan?
No.
Okay.
Were you a Robin fan?
I was, actually. I was.
Up interesting. Until this
season, I pivoted real hard. Real hard.
So
I'm not afraid of a sleepy woman. Okay. Because I am one myself. So who, you know?
I mean, I never hated Robin. I think my opinion of Robin was mostly neutral. I was bored a lot, but like, you know, in terms of like, is this person like dark-sided? No. Like, okay, mm-hmm. like she's fine. In the beginning of the season, I was excited because it seemed like she was like starting to play a bit more, like with the whole Candace and Giselle thing. Like, mm-hmm. I really enjoyed seeing her like not align with Giselle for once. Right. And that was like, cool. Okay. Like Robin, whoa, like Robin woke up. She got, mm-hmm. got her coffee. She's like ready. And then like she drank too many cups of coffee
and then
she went off the wall with the Wendy thing and the Mia. It just got to be very, she became got to be very unlikable for me. And then this comes out. Sorry,
why
go ahead.
Can you make sense of why she doesn't fuck with Wendy? Like, does that make sense to you? Because I just can't wrap my mind around it.
So, okay. I do think that the fandom has had a little bit of amnesia. I think that when the whole thing came out about, I guess when Giselle and Ashley were talking about Eddie, I do think that Wendy might have, but after this season, I'm like, maybe not actually. But like, in my opinion at the time, I feel like Wendy did kind of go a bit hard on Robin when, considering it didn't seem like Robin wasn't really involved necessarily.
Mm.
And I think that, and we saw Wendy and Robin kind of building a friendship, and I really liked, you know, that they like had sons and they were like kind of vibing and kind of starting this friendship.
Right.
I think Wendy's problem is that she goes a little bit too hard. I think she came for Robin in a way that I think really did hurt her feelings.
Mm-hmm.
But then
I can understand how people feel like, I hate to use this word with a Black woman, especially a dark skinned one, but like intimidated by her purely because of her intelligence and like
yeah.
she can carry herself. Like she's trained to speak and she's trained to give an opinion. And I could see how that would be like kind of overwhelming
for yes. somebody. Absolutely. You know, like, especially when she's on like the news, like debating
right
wingers. And like she's trained to not just be able to like express an opinion, but do it quickly and do it. Right. With like, yeah, like I would also be intimidated by her. Like she definitely like will read you with words that you've never heard before,
right? Quickly, in quick succession, yeah,
yeah. And I'm like, let me pull out the dictionary app because I don't know if you just insulted me or complimented me.
Yeah, so I could see how like how Robin might on some level. I don't think that she knows that she feels this way, like feel a little bit out of sorts or out of like she's not maybe in Wendy's league, and I think it like pisses her off.
I think it absolutely does. And like, let's be honest, like Robin's not very bright,
right?
She's not very bright. I think there was that level of intimidation and just like, and also I think her feelings might have also just been hurt because like, you know, she did tell her she didn't have a real relationship, but now that all this shit's blown up, I'm like, well, it was true,
right?
So hit dogs holler. Like, I think it struck a nerve clearly because it was true.
The clown came back to bite hard.
Like, so it hard. It did. But yeah.
I mean, the people, there are a lot of people, or at least a vocal minority of people calling for Robin's firing, to which I say, shut up. No, we're not doing that. Okay. She doesn't need to be fired.
She doesn't need to be fired, but I do think that I was watching like Carlos King on his YouTube. Mm-hmm. I do think they need to go into like open, like, you know, like contracts are open. Like you need to fucking bring it in some way because it is insane to me that we then go through an entire season with all of this like fake bullshit about Candace and Chris and all this. And like, and this is why I think Robin is dumb because on her little reasonably shady Patreon. So it's also that egregiousness of like, I'm going to charge you now for the truth.
Right.
When you're getting paid already to be on the show. So like, just do it on the show.
Exactly.
But like, there's the fact that like she said to Giselle on the podcast, like, oh, well, I was waiting for someone to like out me. And I'm like, mm-hmm. why wouldn't you just get ahead of the narrative and out yourself? And you could have earned yourself like a first seat at the reunion. Like you could have, Robin had a perfect opportunity to like, one, do something interesting, two, actually be sympathetic and relatable.
Mm-hmm.
And then instead chose to just like bully Wendy all season.
Right.
And then come and out like, with this shit at the end. And it's like, you look dumb. You look terrible.
And like, did she think that she was, because I watched Karen's YouTube and I talked about this, but she, Karen reminded me that Robin's background is in PR. So
what?
Yeah.
Oh my God. What?
Yeah. So to me, it's like wild that they would drop that wedding news and then decide to come out with like, I don't know. I don't know. To me, it's just so like pathetic.
It's so, and that's perfect. Yes. Because I think that's what makes Robin so unlikable. That's pathetic. It's like, and then the story that she, that or that Juan, I guess, told her that she's now peddling as the truth. Like, girl, you were the side chick. Do you not get it?
I just saw a TikTok earlier. It was like, how are you going to marry this man for the same reason that you divorced him? Like, what? What? Like, how? It's wild. But fortunately for Robin, there is one person far more goofier than her down there over in Sesame Street. Yes, we're talking about Deborah the Cookie Monster. So, even though we've basically gone through this entire season and there has been irrefutable evidence that Chris did probably would not have even remembered Deborah had this whole shit not come up. Deborah is now insistent that she is going to be like the truth will come out. We just have to wait. And that like Candace needs to keep that same energy with her because something's coming out in the future and we'll all be sorry. Deborah, what is wrong with you?
Deborah.
Honey, what does she think she's doing?
Deborah is so thirsty, obviously.
Incredibly.
Deborah needs to cuss out Ashley because your little friend. Little friend, set your ass up.
Right.
To be on this show. And okay, so my theory about Deborah. So I know that, you know, the colorism conversation has been talked about like so much on this show. Mm-hmm. But I think that what's missing a lot of times when we talk about it is like desirability politics and how I feel like that's actually more interesting than like who gets called aggressive, who can throw a drink. Like, I don't care about that. That's like not, that's just obvious. I feel like Deborah is definitely a classic case of light skin, long hair syndrome.
1,000%.
Oh my, I think she is somebody who has spent her whole life being held up as being the prettiest girl in the room. She's Blasian. She loves to tell you she's Blasian.
She has good hair.
Mm-hmm. It's all hers. She's got right. She had to flip her hair a bunch when she was telling Candace. It's all hers.
Yeah.
And I think that.
Like, I can go in the pool and be fine. You know, there's always those girls.
Yes.
Like,
she gets her hair wet in public. She, you know, hashtag Blasian, hashtag right. Blasian ting. She like, she feels her oats. And you know what? Good for you. But I think that she comes on the show. Ash is like, hey, babe, this is what we're doing. And she does this whole bullshit about Chris. And I think she did not expect people to not just come for her because of the lie, but also specifically for her looks. And right. I'm not going to call Deborah ugly. I think that's mean. But I think that it really struck a nerve as someone who might have spent her life being propped up as being, again, the prettiest girl in the room. We cannot ignore the fact that Candace is also a dark-skinned woman, that Candace is also married to a white man.
Right.
And this all plays out and it's just like, you know, obviously, yes, men can cheat on you despite regardless of what you look like and with whomever. But I think it really did like broke her brain a little bit.
Truly.
Like for her, and for she's her, still like, harping on it.
For her to go so far as to post this video of Candace at Watch What Happens Live, you know, Candace is answering a question. Candace is also on the show and she's talking about what's happening and these allegations against her and her husband. So Deborah posts this on her Instagram with the caption tagging Candace at the real Candace. Be sure to keep that same energy when you see me in person, which will be soon. Clock emoji. You and at Chris Bassett both wish y'all could eat this cookie monster. Goddess realness. Hashtag okay, breakfast Mia. Is served. You're right.
Okay, Mia. TikTok, Mia.
TikTok. It is. Aww. I just don't like at what point are you going to be embarrassed, Deborah? Because I've been sitting here. I've been waiting for you at the bank.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, it's also funny because, like, we literally, like, Candace pays her, like, no mind. Outside of being asked about her, like, we saw on the show desperately wanting a moment. Like, do you want to talk to me? Like, Candace is like, no. I don't talk to Sesame Street characters. They're not real. And left. Like,
go read a book to a child. I'm not doing this with you.
I think that really hurt. Like, she came there ready. Like, I got my little outfit on. My hair is straightened. Like, to have my little moment, and it didn't happen. And she's not a friend of Jacqueline's at the reunion. You not?
Hello, thank you. So I mean,
watching at home like the rest of us.
Right. Good luck to you, girl. I don't know, like, what she plans on doing. If you weren't at the reunion that's already been filmed, then when and why? And for what? Like, what, girl? Just...
Yeah, when are you going to see her? When are you pulling up?
Right. Take the L. Take the L.
I guess maybe she'll pull up to the restaurant at the W or whatever. And may hope. Hopefully Candace is there that night.
Do an Instagram.
No cameras.
Right.
Just her cell phone.
Oh my gosh. God, well, good luck to you, girl, honestly. Moving on to our last bit of Housewives news. It's... Maybe I don't think we're getting Real Housewives of New York, you guys. It's not looking good. Roni Legacy has been the talks have been stalled, the contracts have been rescinded allegedly, and everybody's pointing fingers. And we got to get into who to this. Well, really, to the surprise of probably nobody. Apparently, it was Jill Zarin who was holding out for more money, and the network said, "Girl, you're not worth it. Thank you, next." And that was it. It seems like people are really pissed off. It seems like Kelly was ready to sign. Dorinda. I like that in the article they said, sources say that Sonia Morgan was barely paying attention to the whole affair. Oh my gosh. Somebody spotted Luann at a restaurant looking at the Page Six article about it and talking on her phone and just seeming very stressed out about the whole situation. But yeah, I mean, Andy did tweet, like, you know, don't believe everything you read or whatever, something like that. But how do you feel? Are you a New York girl?
So recently I got into it because I was not in New York. I'll be honest. I watched the Black ones. I watched Atlanta. I watched
Fair.
But I'm like, you know, in terms of like just like the cultural zeitgeist, I've started to get into it, and I understand the excitement because especially this roster of ladies they were going to bring back, I think was super exciting. So I understand the fandom, you know, kind of like frothing at the mouth for this to happen.
Yeah, this is like our Avengers, truly.
Yeah, it really is. And it does suck that like it looks like it might not happen because of contracts. But I'm curious to just know, like, what does Andy Cohen know? I mean, Andy Cohen knows everything. Ugh.
If you could sit down and ask him one question, what would you ask him? Because I would want to know what happened between Jessica Seinfeld and Kelly Ripa. They were such good friends, and now they really don't fuck with each other. And I want to know what happened. Ooh,
that's a good one.
Yeah,
I would actually ask if Kathy Hilton did say the F slur.
Oh, that's a good one.
I really want to know. Like, I think yes, but I want confirmation.
Yeah, I want to know what he believes. Mm-hmm. Who do you believe? Do you believe? Are you Team Kathy or Team Rena? That's what I would love to know. I'm like really bummed out. I'm really like pissed off about Jill. Of course it was her. I mean, she's been truly like the thirstiest woman to get back to New York, and she knows that. So, you know, if you hear this, you might be listening, or Allie or something. Sorry, but like, you know that girl. And it's just like, you've been trying to get back on the show for years since you got kicked off, and now you ruined it for everybody. And like, why?
Bumble,
why
would you the bag? And it's like,
and she's the richest one out of all of them.
Exactly. So I'm like, I want to know what the numbers were too. Like, what were these contracts? Because it's like, like how much was she asking for?
Honestly, like, listen, girl, this isn't 2010 anymore. We're not drawn in those same numbers as when you were fighting with Bethany. So you're just going to have to take the check that you accept. We're in an economy, ma'am. People are losing their jobs left and right.
I know. Do you see egg prices, mom? Like, come on.
Right.
Like, why yeah, I'd be mad though. Like, imagine like you losing the bag though because of like one greedy fuck.
Yeah, especially when you've been wanting it more than anybody for like a decade. Yeah. Stupid. Ugh, oh God. But let's get into the thing that I'm most excited. You DM'd me that you were stressed out about this. it's getting, I love shit like this. I live for it. So Jessica Simpson wrote or came out with a short story. It's on Amazon. You can find it for free if you have Amazon Prime, or I think it's like $1.99 on Kindle. It's like 30 pages. But she, this came out on the 1st, and it was, ooh, this is funny. She basically says that in this, it's called Movie Star, They Always Say They're Single. Here's the basic news. Jessica Simpson, it's 2001 and everything's great. She's at the MTV Awards. She and Nick are not married yet, but they're on a break. And she ends up meeting this superstar. It's a guy that she had a teenage crush on. After they're introduced, he's looking her up and down, like giving me the F fuck me stare. And it's like on and popping. They end up meeting each other or running into each other a few days later at the gym. They exchange numbers, but oddly enough, 9/11 happens. And somehow this gets Nick and Jessica back together. I don't know. I don't think I need to know the details on that, but
I think 9/11 brought a lot of us together. Actually. Oh,
yeah. Okay. As a nation. You're right.
As a nation. Yeah.
I'll take that back. But so yeah, they get back together, you know, they get married, the show comes out, they get divorced, and now we're at 2006. She ends up running back into this guy and things happen. They end up kissing. She gets a warm feeling all over her body. And I quote, this part really made me laugh, from the tips of my toes and into my wedges. Into my Jessica Simpson wedges. I felt it. So he is like telling, he's running game on her. He's telling Jessica he's single. He's inviting her onto a movie set. She says that this is like a set with like the director of this movie is like a big time household name. Like if you're not into movies, you would know who this guy is. They're flying on private jets together. They have a mutual friend. They're at the club, plane, another plane, the whole thing. And she's just like totally into this fantasy. Like, this is my teenage dream come true. And eventually she starts realizing that things are weird. Like, you know, you're saying that you are broken up with this girl, and but like you're still together, just keeping up appearances. Like, it would be too messy to officially break up with her, but you're definitely broken up in private. But like, why am I having to take the back stairs to come into your hotel room? Like, things just aren't adding up. It's being very sketchy. Mm-hmm. So this basically ends in Jessica having like a come to Jesus moment. She has a crisis of conscience and is like, I just don't want to be the side chick. So I'm going to have to get myself out of this. But obviously she doesn't say who this guy is, but there are a couple clues. One, she says when she saw them at the 2001 VMAs, he was wearing a t-shirt and jeans. So I looked at the red carpet, and I think you did your Googles as well. Do you want to, did you find anything that you would like to share with the class?
Okay. So I oh my goodness. My research. So I love the clue about the fact that it was like a teenage heartthrob, mm-hmm. right? Because that also kind of helped me think about like who would Jessica Simpson have been into as a teenager? She was born in 1980. Mm-hmm. Which means she's a teen from 1993 to 1998, which right. helped me narrow it down in terms of age of who the person is. Probably a little bit older.
Yeah, but not too
significantly much. Older.
Right.
And I actually came down to Mark Wahlberg.
So did I. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yes.
He was on the red carpet. He was wearing a Bob Marley t-shirt and jeans. Mm-hmm. In 2006, he was in The Departed, which was directed by Scorsese.
Yes.
There was something else that I found. Oh, I cannot remember. Oh, but he was not married in 2006. He did have a girlfriend right. that he eventually did marry. So
yes, Rhea Durham.
Yes.
They were dating. Yeah.
Yeah. So she also said that this guy is like very much still a famous person now. He's very much still a movie star. She also mentioned that they were both very religious, but different. Like, you know, we know that Jessica's Christian. Of course,
Catholic.
That guy's very Catholic. And she also yep. mentioned his voice, you know, and being a Boston boy, very distinct. So mm-hmm. Mark, what's going on, girl?
I think, and I zeroed in on him, especially with the teenage thing. Yeah. He was in Fear in 96, yep. when she was 16. She saw that finger banging scene.
Yeah.
And that triggered it. And she's like, my teenage self would have loved it. I'm like, yeah, because we all watched that scene, Jessica.
Yep. I feel like Fear.
She loves wild horses. By Sundays.
Fear informed a lot of people's sexuality from around that time. And I don't think it was maybe for the best.
No. Yeah. No. Yeah. Also, other candidates, though. I mean, obviously it was Mark Wahlberg. I don't know if they were at the VMAs, but I included them. It could have been Johnny Depp. Could have been Matt Damon.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Or Ben Affleck. Those were the other three that I was like, they could possibly be the same. And like Ben Affleck, also from Boston. So
that is true. Ben, he seems like out of those three, the one that would do that.
Oh yeah. Like back door. Like, yeah, of course.
Like he lives for that.
He loves that kind of shit. But no, Mark Wahlberg, like, damn. I'm so glad that we came to the same conclusion. I was sweating.
Really, right? I was like, oh, I can't wait to see what she says. Oh, yeah. I love that. I love that she did that. I think I want more celebrities to do shit like this, you know?
Yes. Like, I miss this. This is the kind of mess I used to love from like celebrities, just like outing people. Or I guess or you just get to like Quincy Jones' age and you just like tell everyone about how like Marlon Brando fucked anything with a pulse. So like
you just let the chopper spray. Like, are you all right? You recording? Here it goes. That is one of the if you guys have not read that Quincy Jones article, it is one of the craziest, most enjoyable articles I've ever read.
he's so like the Beatles couldn't actually, they were terrible musicians. Like he just
Like, fuck them.
It's like your grandpa just like rambling. Like, what?
Yes, horny, angry, randomly talking about how he's a Pisces. It's incredible. This is so incredible.
Good. But like, yeah, you just have to get to that age where like, I mean, what is anyone going to say? Is Paul McCartney going to come out against right. Quincy Jones? He's also old. Like, right.
Can't imagine.
I would love to see like Paul McCartney just like tweeting at Quincy Jones, just like cussing his ass out.
Just like a beef. Do you remember when Nicki Minaj got into a fight with Stormy?
Yeah.
On Twitter, she was like genuinely beefing with her. Because...
Wasn't it because yeah. like, it's also it was, like sales, right? Or like a charting yeah. or something.
Yeah, because they were coming out with an album on the same week, she and Travis, and he was doing Astroworld, or he was on tour at the time. So I think he was like bundling in the CD sales with like, you could get a free CD if you buy a ticket. Right. Which obviously was kind of like boost this shit. And then I think Kylie tweeted something about like, oh, Stormy's going to be at this concert. She's like, fuck Stormy, whatever she said.
I think I'm of the opinion that more people should beef with children.
It's so funny.
It's really funny. Like, it's fucked up. Also, like, the idea of someone just like cussing out a baby is like, what?
When somebody tweeted that like not all babies have good vibes, I felt so free. Somebody needed to say it.
And I love kids. I love kids yeah. so much. But like, yeah, mm-hmm. like I wanted to tell a child to fuck off.
I hope to do it at one point. It hasn't happened yet, but you know, should the situation arise, just know that they earned it. Just know that.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think it'll be good for their growth and development.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They're not going to, better from me than from somewhere out on the street, you know?
Exactly. Though I am doing it out on the street. Like,
yeah.
I am the street.
Okay, I want to end with this one story that I keep trying to push on my audience, and I think this couple is also trying to push themselves onto the larger US audience, and neither it's not working for either of us, but I'm still trying. Okay, if they're mm-hmm. still trying, I'm still trying. I want to talk about Brooklyn Beckham and his wife and how weird she is. Okay, you guys, I think they came out with a Vogue, like one of those couples, like, oh, we talk about our fashion and like how we live our lives. And they were trying so hard to be interesting. And it just was not, it was not.
Yeah.
They're so boring and they're strange and they really want to be a power couple. It's just not
so
working.
You are not Posh and Bex.
At all. At all. And she really wants that. And it's not happening, Nicola. I'm nope. sorry. Not with Brooklyn. Here's the thing with Brooklyn is that he, like, from what I gather, I think he really doesn't want to be David and Victoria's kid forever.
Yeah.
And I don't think he resents it, but I just think he like wants to do his own thing. But the thing is that like all of his ideas are just so basic rich kid. Like, I'm going to go to Africa and take pictures of elephants.
I'm a shadow. You mean a silhouette of an elephant.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I'm gonna like get into cooking. I'm gonna get in just like the very like just a rich kid. I have money to spend waste kind of career paths, and like he's mm-hmm. not good at any of them.
No, nope.
poor dear, but he's trying, and we have to give people credit for trying, even if it's embarrassing.
I mean he's the way. If I was an Nepo baby.
Tell
the way
him.
You would never hear from, like, I would just be rich.
Thank you. I would
and
be
just
so
like
good at it.
Enjoy it, and just yeah. like you would never see me trying to like launch a thing.
No,
I would honestly. I don't know if I no. I probably would be. I wouldn't be. I want to be in the mix. I probably would like want to like, be like a socialite. But like,
yeah.
I'm not trying to like launch my film career.
No,
I'm not doing anything. Because why?
I don't need to
like, if my parents them. Are like legends, not like, oh, they're just like rich and famous. But like, if they're like Posh and Bex level, it's like, I'll never live up to that.
Yeah. And I'm fine. I'm
okay with that. I don't need to be that. That's okay. I hope my parents love me. I'm hoping they love his birds love him. And I'm loved by Victoria Beckham. And that is incredible.
But like, the kid does not know how freeing it must be to know that you don't have to do better than your parents. They've made it so you don't have to do that. Like, that's
the whole point.
Yeah.
That is the point. That is why people have kids. It's like they could just make their life, well, ideally, they make their lives better than theirs. And then they could just like build off of that and just enjoy that. Like, why? Yeah. Why all the, apparently that show, the Cooking with Brooklyn, which like kind of rhymes, but barely.
And that's the thing. That's like everything that he's trying to do. It's like, I see what you're doing, but it doesn't work.
There, because, well, the problem is that he's not interesting, one.
Not at all.
You know, Selena Gomez can do a cooking show because she is compelling. She's charming. She's cute. She actually seem to like to cook. Like, it's like, oh, this works.
Right.
You are cute.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. That's all you got.
And now the poor dear is being saddled with this girl who's clearly very ambitious, which, like, okay. I mean, this, you're like a, you know, allegedly throwing your nanny down the stairs, terrible daughter of a billionaire. She clearly wants to, like, be a brand, and it's not working. And he's trying, and she's really trying, and it's not working. But, okay, so they got married in April. And this wedding has been like reported as being like very contentious between she and Victoria, because Victoria was going to design the dress and then she said no. And then Nicola made up some stupid like lie about how Victoria's design team didn't have enough time to do one wedding dress for her daughter-in-law. Or like, are you come fucking on. Serious?
She's Victoria Beckham. Stop.
Like, come on. Like, girl, come on, don't play with me. But there's more wedding drama, and her father is now involved. Her dad's name is Nelson. He's like, from my understanding, like some Trump supporting dick bag.
Yeah, he's a Republican, and yeah, like on the board of like Procter and Gamble and like all the evil corporations.
Right. He filed a lawsuit against some wedding planners. Their names are Nicole Braggin and Ariana. Griglba, Griglba, I'll say. But he's claiming that he paid them $159,000 for a deposit, and
shit,
that they need to pay him back because they did not complete their services, right? So my first red flag, now keep in mind, Nelson is suing them. So like, as part of this, you have to submit evidence as to like, you know, build your case. So the first red flag for me is that they hired this firm 6 weeks out from their wedding.
Yes.
Because the first wedding team that they went to, they ended up, you know, parting ways.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So to speak. And you're a newlywed, so I'm hoping to use your expertise in this. To me, that's like, okay, you gave, this is a 500 plus guest wedding, and you're giving them 6 weeks to plan it.
It is insane. It is insane. That was also a red flag for me. Well, one, also that you cut ties with them 6 weeks in advance too. So right. I'm like, either they really did something egregious, or you're terrible and Bridezilla or something. Somebody had to have done something really bad for that to happen 6 weeks out. Because at that point, it's like
the final stretch.
You're at the final stretch. Like at 6 weeks, because I had a timeline, you are, everything's paid for at this point.
Right.
You're literally just like tying down the remaining RSVPs, the remaining details. Like it's, you're really coming at the end. So it's very bizarre that happened in the first place. Yeah. And finding out that it was a 500 person guest list, that's a lot for 6 weeks.
So that is a lot. So like I said, as part of this suit, Nelson had to include some of the text messages. And now keep in mind, again, this is him trying to build a case for himself. He includes text messages from Nicola. And she's having an exchange with one of the wedding planners saying, like, she's pissed off because she says, I'm tired of fixing you guys' mistakes after they had an RSVP situation. So they had like an app, it sounds like, where mm-hmm. they had like the guest list and who was coming and who wasn't. And Lewis Hamilton, that Formula One racer, was listed as yes, even though he had personally told the couple that he wasn't going. So Nicola texts this wedding planner and is like, I'm tired of fixing all your mistakes. Lewis Hamilton did not, in all caps, RSVP. So explain why his name is on the list, please. So then she goes on to say, we spoke to him, he can't come. So explain why you said he RSVP'd yes. So this lady responds, I'm so sorry. Like, I need more time to get familiar with the app. I need time to do this. I'm going to take a moment to learn the app and send you the information. I hate looking like a fool, but I hate most not giving you what you need. I'll be back soon.
Fair response.
And Nicola's response to that was basically just like, you're lying. I know that you're lying and that you're not telling the truth about this because of the RSVP. Like, girl, this is an app situation. This is like not that deep. Your wedding hasn't happened. Just change it to no. What's the
also a mistaken RSVP? And like, okay, maybe, you know, the wedding's coming. It's just she's freaking out because, like, if Lewis Hamilton has the wrong response, are there others? But let's say they don't. They aren't. There really is no consequence if you accidentally have one person who you expect to come who is not coming.
Like, don't
it does not impact kind of anything.
Assume that more people are going to come. Like, maybe somebody will show up. Like, I feel like people always over prepare.
Yes, you always over prepare. Like, the caterer is not going to make the exact number of meals. Right. Like, they'll have extra. They're also usually, I mean, especially in a wedding like this.
Right.
Come on. It's a billionaire daughter's like wedding. They're going to be flexible and they're going to work around this. It's not that deep. Like, it's not like she did something like, I don't know, schedule a vendor for the wrong day.
Right.
That is bad.
Right. This is like
this one person is it's nothing. It's like small potatoes.
Yeah, honestly, like in the time that it took her to text her, like this thing could have been fixed. It's not a big deal. So another bit of evidence that her father submitted was claiming that one of these wedding planners has a drinking problem. And as evidence of that, apparently he posts a group chat text message where one of the women says, I'm going to go for a tequila before my head explodes. And Nicola's response is, yes, queen, with 4 exclamation points. So are you mad that she's drinking or not?
Honestly, she's so basic. I'm surprised she didn't say slay.
Right.
Slay. Like, okay.
You're such a girl boss. I don't know. Like, to me, I was trying to think, like, oh, did they think this makes them sound good? Because it makes them sound like assholes. And yeah, I mean, maybe needless to say, long story short, they ended up ending their contract with the Peltz family 9 days later. So, after signing on, they're like, no, thank you.
Over the course of this wedding, they had 3 different firms have to plan this wedding. And that's also like telling, like, this sounds like a you problem.
This sounds like a you problem. I feel like, you know, I it sounds like they earned it to me, frankly.
I mean, truly. And also just like, I guess just like double back to this, like this weird thing they're doing with their career, their joint career. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I'm always just suspicious of people who are like that. I always assume you're just not a good person. If you're just, you know, I don't want to knock a young woman for being ambitious. But there's something to be said about people who are just so ambitious that it feels like it's really forced and it feels like you're doing something that's just unsavory. One of the things I noticed, I decided to, you know, troll her Instagram a little bit, is like the number of times that she like posts Selena Gomez.
Mm.
And it's very like sus. And I don't want to question this friendship. Okay. I don't know Selena Gomez. I don't know this woman. I do feel a little bit protective of Selena Gomez. It does feel very like leechy, like kind of like, oh, like this is your like, and she has famous friends, but it's like, this is like your like my ticket to like, you know, like really to like kind of legitimize you.
Yeah.
Right. And it's just very, it's weird. It's something about it is just very like strange. And
it's like, very strange because she has all the makings of this being very easy for her. Like she's got the money.
Right.
She is a seemingly regularly working actress. So she's got like the PR. She has access to all of these things that should make her famous. And yet, I don't.
Because the funny thing is, and correct me if I'm wrong, she's not a household name.
I don't think so.
If you tell most people, say that Nicola Peltz, I don't think they know who that is.
No.
As compared to someone who's kind of similar, like a Hailey Bieber, who's also just very pretty and does nothing. Mm-hmm. They know who that is. I feel like that's what's so strange is that like, you should be in the same like league of this person. And it could be, you know, maybe she fumbled the bag of who she married. She decided to marry a legacy kid and not the legacy itself. That's where she fucked up. You should have married like an, like, cause Brooklyn Beckham is also someone who I think if you say his name, obviously it's like, oh yeah, like Posh and Beck's son who they conceived in Brooklyn. And I have to now know that for the rest of my life.
Right.
Like, I have to carry this weight with me to my deathbed. But like, she's positioned enough to be so successful, to be so rich. She's very pretty. Like, marry an existing A-lister. And you could have had the life you wanted. Instead, you married this puppy of a man. Like, I'm like, he seems so sweet. And like, oh, like, blessed. Yeah, but also
harmless.
Yeah, I'm like, get you like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I'm thinking who could she have like bagged? A lot of like, I don't know. I think of like young, hot Hollywood.
Yeah.
Of these actors. Like, you didn't think to like marry one of them or like start dating one of them?
I mean, if she could have looked in the crystal ball, like you could have dated Jacob Elordi and the other one who's ran through easily.
Right. Or someone like a maybe someone older. I mean, like this person is couples, but like a Tom Hiddleston or something, like someone who is has enough of a name and like also has the respect in Hollywood that's like you could have pivoted that way, or someone who's like an up and comer. Like, I don't know. It's like very it's like a she is a miscalculation of how to leverage like a relationship to like do the power couple thing, because the problem is that like he doesn't have a job, like
right.
You need to find someone with a fucking job, babe, like
right, or at least be a vibe. Like, he's not even a vibe,
honestly. She should have updated Pete Davidson.
Yeah, that's
as a beginning point, like don't marry him.
Yeah, no
date
no.
him. Now we know your name.
Exactly.
It's a stepping stone. And then you marry. I'm really like showing how much I don't know about young hot Hollywood, because I'm running a blink on like a guy that she could like marry. I'm thinking of all like 40 something year old men. But I'm just thinking, like, I don't know, like one of those fellers, like
yeah, she latched onto this one too soon. And I get it, because like they were also like a young couple, like Haley and Justin, but very different. Because I don't think, like, she obviously like doesn't have the connections like Haley does. Like, at the end of the day, Haley can still be friends with Kendall Jenner. Like, that's no problem.
Yeah, but you would expect it. It's like you're literally like, man, money doesn't buy you everything.
It really doesn't.
Kind of like, damn, like that. Now I'm thinking about it, like, it is weird that you're not like, but then you have this star studded, but then you're marrying Posh and Beck's son. That's why you've got Serena Williams at your wedding.
Exactly. Or like, why are you not using Victoria to like get you into like be a fashion girl? Like, shit's not adding up to me.
Take the Zendaya route, bitch. Like, come on. Zendaya already told us the blueprint. She said, show up places looking good.
Turn a look.
And I'm an it girl. Like, duh.
It's so, something is something's not going right.
Something's wrong.
Something's wrong.
Like, yeah, maybe like,
paying attention to her.
You know, you're right. Like, you know, when you sent me the topic, I was like, okay, this is, I guess, interesting. But now I'm thinking about it, I'm like, yeah, what's she doing? Like,
what is she doing? What is she up to? We all need to keep eyes on her.
She's so thin and so pretty. Like, what's not clicking?
What's not clicking? Sydney, thank you so much for joining me and talking about this. Tell everybody where they can find you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. You all can find me on my, I have two podcasts. One is about Degrassi. It's called Everybody Wants Something. And we're just kind of going through the entire Degrassi oeuvre. And it's, yeah, it's, sorry, what?
Come on, Wendy, with your 4 degrees.
Yes. But no, it's been fun. We also have, I also have a podcast called We I First. We talk about horror movies, and that's been joyful. You can find me on Twitter at Seynique, that's SEYNIQUE, or at Instagram at SEY_SMYTHE.
All right, girl. Well, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. Now, thank you for leaving me with Nicola Peltz. And now I have to, like,
you're welcome.
Just think about that for the rest of the day.
You know, a good host always leaves you with something as you go.
Yes, yeah? You did. You did.
Thank you so much. You have a great day.
Yeah, you too.
Bye.